The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
So what's been trending online this week? Well, I'm joined now by entertainment journalist and podcaster Dee Reddy. Dee, you're very welcome. Inside the Manosphere is where we're going to start, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Louis Theroux documentary.
Well, I mean, I think it's definitely been the biggest online story this week. Unfortunately, though, it's kind of been the biggest online story for the last decade or so. It's just only now, because Louis Theroux has shone a light on it, that people are more broadly talking about it. I mean, I don't know how you feel, Claire, but I definitely feel that any woman who spends any time online over the last 15 years is aware that things have slid in that direction.
I think I read a review where, you know, it was said that he's a bit late to the party.
Yeah, that was The Guardian, yeah.
For many of us, like, you try and stay away from that world
because you have to. You
don't really want to know about it. And it is interesting, and we do have to, particularly when you have children, you've got to really pay attention to it. So when Louis Theroux does it, everybody takes a closer look.
Yeah, and I think Louis Theroux is, I mean, he's the king of letting people hoist themselves by their own petard. Like, that is very much his style of journalism. Call it petardism if you want. But the term manosphere is not new. I think, actually the fact that it comes from, it's a play on blogosphere. And when was the last time we spoke about blogs in terms of it being a kind of dominant online force? But it was first appeared around 2009. And so that gives you an insight into just how long running this trend is. It was popularized by a guy called Ian Ironwood. So he was actually a pornography marketer, and he collected various blogs and forums into a book titled The Manosphere, A New Hope for Masculinity. So the whole kind of ilk of that content would be the likes of men's rights activists, pickup artists, and then involuntary celibates or incels.
So you watched it last night, as did I. Yeah. What did you think of it?
I thought it was, it was depressing as hell, but nothing in it actually surprised me, which I suppose there's another layer of depression inducing there. I think it is really, really great that this is a conversation now that has been had on wider media.
When I was watching it, I thought to myself, none of these guys, I don't trust that any of them believe what they're saying.
Do you know, I felt exactly the same. And you could see them almost doing that thing where they look, you know, when somebody kind of looks up and to the right, and then their arguments when he did challenge them. And I did think it was, and The Guardian pointed this out as well, I did think he was a bit more challenging with them than I've seen him be with other subjects, you know, even Westboro Baptist Church and the like. And I do have a thought on that, that is perhaps he is aware of just how good these guys are at content generation.
Mm-hmm. And using him for content.
So by not challenging themselves, he was actually probably leaving himself wide open to being used. And it does show them using him in their own content, in the thing. But you're quite right in saying that they don't believe it. Like, a lot of the arguments collapse the second they are challenged on it.
Yeah, and I just don't believe that they're living the life that they espouse, that they are as anti-woman as they say they are. It's an attention economy, so they say it to get attention.
Exactly.
And then they divert these poor 13 and 14 year olds to the crypto investing accounts that they have, which they're taking a cut of. That's how they're making their money.
Well, I mean, one of the main podcasts that was covered in it, it's fitness women wealth, and what it covers. And I think that tells you everything about the manosphere. I also thought it was really, really illuminating that one of the kind of key contributors of it, this guy HS Tiki Taki, who I heard a podcaster during the week say sounds like something the British public would name a ship.
Harrison Sullivan.
That's right.
Yeah.
5 minutes in, if it's a day, he actually said that he wouldn't say the things that he says on his podcast or in his content in front of his own mother. Mm-hmm. And I think that's incredibly revealing. His mother does actually feature in it a little bit later as
well. Yeah, she got a bit cross with Louis through, but she also got cross with her own son because he didn't have the place tidy enough for Louis before Louis arrived, which is telling, isn't it? Anyway, people are talking about that online. That's a huge topic and it has been trending. Timothy Chalamet is also trending because of this podcast comment that he made. It was an interview with Matthew McConaughey. Let's listen to the comments first and then we'll have a chat about it.
I admire people, and I've done it myself, to go on a talk show and go, hey, we got to keep movie theaters alive. You know, we got to keep this genre alive. And another part of me feels like if people want to see it, like Barbie, like Oppenheimer, they're going to go see it and go out of their way to be loud and proud about it. And I don't want to be working in ballet or opera or, you know, things where it's like, hey, keep this thing alive, even though no one cares about this anymore. All respect to the ballet and opera people out there.
Yeah, it's a throwaway thing that has become not a throwaway thing.
Yeah, I mean, this one commenter actually said how to lose an Oscar in 10 days. I mean, he was the favorite for winning Best Actor at the Oscars. And he would have been, I think, the second youngest to win it. He was beaten last year by Adrian Brody, who was himself the youngest person to win it. So deeply unfortunate for him. But the amount of commentary that this has generated is quite startling. The Seattle Opera offered a 14% ticket discount using the promo code Timothée. Ballerina Misty Copeland argued that Chalamet wouldn't be an actor without the foundations of these art forms, which is a fair point. And then a whole host of other celebrities like Jamie Lee Curtis, Andrea Botticelli have just expressed disappointment about it. My favourite was Broadway legend and film star Nathan Lane, who accused him of kaleidoscopic stupidity. And I do think it is quite a stupid thing to say. Like, he grew up in this environment. His own grandmother, mother and sister all are ballerinas or work within ballet. So it seems like a bizarre pot shot to take. And it's also, I think, indicative of just a lack of regard for other creative arts that people really, really don't like seeing. And I do think as well that there's an element of it that has been generated by his increasingly public relationship with Kylie Jenner, who's part of the Kardashian-verse, shall we call it.
There are other reasons why people might be waiting in the long grass for him and that they feel like they've got him. Okay, listen, we have to leave it there, MD, but thank you so much.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.